Today on Real Radio.
This book of Ephesians, chapter 2, telling us that we were once dead in our sins. And when the Bible says dead, it means absolutely dead. More dead than a dead physical body. We're talking about spiritual death here, which is called the second death. When we are alienated from Christ, we are more than dead. We have suffered spiritual death. And the Bible teaches us that every person born into the world is born spiritually dead. We need to be born again.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series called From Death to Life. The first few verses of the second chapter mention some of our benefits in Christ now that we have believed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called From Death to Life.
Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read from verses 1 down to verse 7, even though we're going to focus on verses 4 through 7 tonight specifically. But we'll get at verse 1. He says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places," or the heavenlies, "in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." You know, everyone loves, if you're like me anyway, I think everybody's like this, if you love the stars and the sky, there's nothing greater than to go out into a place where it's very dark. We're blessed in our area. We can just, you know, take a little walk or just go up into the hills, and it's black at night. And you can see the stars, and it's so beautiful. But everybody loves to look at the stars. People like to think about that and write about it, and there's songs about stars. And the thing that makes stars so beautiful is the darkness of the sky behind it. We mentioned to you last week that a diamond looks its best when the salesman drapes the black velvet behind that diamond and casts those lights on it to make it really shine. And it's that black blackness that causes that diamond to shine. It's the dark sky that causes the stars to shine all the more brighter. And we'll go out to look at those stars. Last month, seems like a year ago now, but last month we had the pastor's conference up at Lake Tahoe. And in the blackness of the night, you could see that Comet Kawasaki or whatever it was called. I don't remember its name. Hiawatha or something. It was up there, and it was the tail in that black sky was like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. And then unfortunately you come down into the city and you can't see much about it. It's the blackness that causes the glory to shine. And this book of Ephesians, chapter 2, telling us that we were once dead in our sins. And when the Bible says dead, it means absolutely dead. More dead than a dead physical body. We're talking about spiritual death here, which is called the second death. When we are alienated from Christ, we are more than dead. We have suffered spiritual death. And the Bible teaches us that every person born into the world is born spiritually dead. We need to be born again. In Psalm chapter 19, you know it well, verse 1. It says there that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that is the heavens, shows His handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Why is that the case? How can that be? Because when we look at the stars, there's something about that glory that causes us to step back and wonder, is God real? Is He really there? And in fact, the heavens can lead you to God, can lead you to Christ. I can't imagine being an astronomer, let alone a scientist for that matter, and not know God personally. I mean, it just screams, His creation does, to know Him. But we who have been redeemed are like those stars. We shine, giving God glory. And I want to know if that's how it is in your life. Is that true for us? It's so very important. The heavens declare the glory of God. For some of you, maybe a week ago, a month ago, maybe years ago for us in our lives, we were brought out of this world and God filled us with His love and in His grace. And now we, by His mercy, by His grace, we shine for Him. And that's a very wonderful thing. And we need to be about the Father's business in doing that. But we need to remember, and I hope you're encouraged by this, the darker of a life you've come out of, the greater you shine for Him. Jesus put it this way in Luke 7:47. He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, speaking of Mary in that setting, He says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she's loved much. But to him who is forgiven little, loves little. And so what He's saying is, a person who's been forgiven much, that person will love much. A person who's been forgiven little shows love a little. Jesus is talking about the human nature. If we are gross sinners, then in our lives we will express more love toward God. Because why? We understand that we've been delivered from so much. If we've kind of been okay, but of course still coming to the Lord and needing His salvation and His forgiveness, but we lived a pretty good life. You know, when we say, well, thank you, God, and I love you, and I thank you for the sins that you've been forgiven me of, I appreciate that. But somebody who comes out of a gross life, man, they are really nuts for God. And that's why I'm nuts for God, is I've been forgiven so very, very much. And you're grateful for that. And God is so, so good to us. We're going to see a couple things tonight. The first thing is found here in verse 4 as we look at the treasures of our God. And you ought to jot that down in your notes. The treasures of our God. Remember last week we talked about the Death Valley situation and then up to Mount Whitney and the great difference? Now in this portion of the scripture we will see going from Death Valley really to the Mount Whitney, the high peak, the point of all that God has for us. Listen to this. He says in verse 4, but God. You got to put parentheses around that, underline it, put your name next to it, highlight it if you got a highlighter, borrow your friend's pen and circle it in the ink. It says, but God. But God. It's a great word. This thing means in contrast to all that we've just got done saying. You, Paul is saying, you wretched, bum, sinners, dead in your trespasses and sins, good for nothing, hellbound, absolutely worthless. But God. And it changes the whole course. This statement, but God, is a fork in the road. We've been going down one path of deprivation and depravity and alienation from God. And then he says, you know, really, you can almost hear him pull out the life raft before anybody just passes out or goes overboard. He says, but God! And look what he says. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He has loved us. First thing I want you to notice is that, but God who is rich. Isn't it great? Our God is rich. Isn't it great that we don't serve some pagan little God that's carved out of a totem pole somewhere up in the north, and you gotta, you know, beg for Him to send a whale by and you know, help, you know, bless our season as we go get seals and you know, it's sad. We don't talk to some wooden structure. We don't talk to some glass thing. We don't hold some crystal ball in our hand and say, oh, you know, what are the stars going to tell us for today? You know how many people get on the computer these days and look up their horoscope before they ever get into the shower to see if they should get in the shower? That's paganism. Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 says it's an abomination to God to seek a horoscope. God is against that. Why? Because it's real. I knew it, honey. I knew it was real. Yeah, it's real satanic. It's totally under the powers of demons and of the devil. It's real. But people seek that rather than seek God. And then it says right here that, but God who's rich in mercy. But He's rich. We don't have to go after some pagan system. We've got a God who is rich. Rich in what? Rich in everything you need. What do you need tonight? He's rich in that. In the darkest scenario, in the blackest of situations, painted in verses 1 through 3, it says here in verse 4, but God. This word riches here is great. Listen to this meaning. It says in the Greek language, all existing wealth, the fullness of all that can be owned. Donald Trump is a pauper compared to what God has. Did you hear about Donald Trump a little while ago? Remember, did you hear about this in the news? Got a flat tire in his limo. You see this? And some guy pulled over and helped him. And he didn't know Donald Trump was in there. Somehow Donald Trump got the guy's name. And the guy goes and sends in his house payment, and Donald Trump had paid his mortgage off and put money in his bank account for his kids and set him up for life for helping him change a tire. So if you see me changing the... But I thought that was neat. You know, I don't know anything about Donald Trump. You'd think a man that rich, he's got to come to know God soon because he's coming to the end of life. I mean, what can he do? What can he experience? And, you know, he's got the same feelings you do. Our God is rich. The kind of wealth Trump knows nothing about. That's our dad. That is our God. Rich in mercy. Rich in grace. Rich in goodness. We'll see this tonight. He's rich. All wealth that can be owned, He owns. I like that. But look what it says here. Rich in mercy. Well, you might say, well, why does it say that? Well, you need to read verses 1 through 3 again. That's why. By the time you get through verses 1 through 3, you say, oh, I need mercy. Why? Because when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, the very declaration that God is rich in mercy presupposes that we need it. Why do we need it? We're sinners. And He lavishes upon us His grace and His mercies. We get His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And you might say, I don't deserve all that much. That's called deception, when you do not realize how much you need His mercy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. So what happens? The Lord pours upon us mercy, and it is rich in mercy He does. I didn't make it up. It's right in your Bibles. You can test and see. Look at them. Feel it out. Apply it to your life. Enjoy it. God's mercies. God's riches. This word mercy is simply the word compassion. Actually, it's a little bit expounded in the Greek, and it's compassion or tender mercies. Doesn't that sound great? Tender mercies. Mercy sounds good. Tender mercy. Tender mercy is God takes you and pulls you right to His side and pats you on the head. That's a tender mercy thing, is a little pat on the head. Tender mercy is when maybe you're praying with somebody, or maybe you got your kids and you're comforting them or whatever, and you're patting their back, you're rubbing their back. And I know we read this somewhere, some child book years ago. When your kids fall down, they get hurt. You know, two things you don't do. You don't go, oh, are you okay? That scares them to death. They think they're dying. So you don't overreact. You say, come here. Or, you know, you're okay. And then... And then what you do is, when they're hurt, this book said, like, start scratching their back or rubbing their feet or whatever it is, to stimulate the nervous system, because all they can think about is this toe that they just stubbed. Well, when you're comforting them, you scratch their back and you're praying, oh Lord, it's okay, they'll be okay. Lord, take the boo-boo away, make them feel better. And you touch them a lot. You touch them. It's okay. You're all right. And it takes their mind off their throbbing toe. It works. It really works. Ladies having babies. The focal point and the effluage. I remember these things. You know, the Heblo things, and it's all this, and it helps. It helps. Because if you don't focus on something else, or if you don't spread out the stimulation, all you can think about is the pain. Tender mercies. That's what God extends to us, tender mercies. Oh, come here. I know you are a sinner, Jack. You come here right now. My son has forgiven you. And listen, I died on the cross for you, and you're going to be okay. You just trust in me. You forsake that sin. You trust in me. And he's patting us on the head and on the back and saying, you know what? You stick with me and you'll be okay. But mercy presupposes, by the way, that there's judgment to come. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. That means judgment has been, listen, decreed actually to extend mercy. You can only extend mercy, people, after the verdict has been decreed. Did you know that? It means that the verdict's been decreed. That's pretty scary. Paul tells us in Colossians, I think it is, if it's not Colossians, it's Galatians, where it says, concerning our sins, concerning us, God took the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Can you imagine? All of our lives, oh man, he did this, he did that. But then when we come to Christ, it says there that God takes them and nails them to the cross of Christ, putting them out of the way. Judgment. Our sin needed to be judged, but Jesus took that judgment. And he doesn't give to us what we deserve. He gives us tender mercy. And he's rich in that, people. He's rich in it. I want to say this and go on with this message. If you have lived a terrible life and you keep just beating yourself up about it. Have you seen the Muslims during Holy Week? God bless them. They're so committed. But they're so missing the goodness and the grace of God. They'll take chains and ropes and they'll do that and they'll beat themselves in the back for their sin, make an atonement, and they'll make their march. You seen that? And your heart breaks. Your heart breaks for them. You want to just crawl through the TV and give them the gospels. I mean, you don't have to beat yourself. I know one who was beaten on the cross for you. By his stripes, we've been made whole. No, listen. Some of you still beat yourself up. Oh man, I can't. I'm a bad Christian. God, I mean, when he comes back, he's going to beat me up. That's what he's going to do when he comes back. In fact, he'll leave me behind when he comes. He won't have anything to do with me. Why do you think like that? You need to trust Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross for you. Get on with it. Stop doubting him. Take it. You know what? You are like a little skyrocket waiting to happen. You need to take that to the Lord and forsake it, give it, dump it, let him have it, and then you're going to take off and shine for him, because to who is forgiven much, he loves much. You're just a bundle of love waiting to explode all over God if you'll just trust him to forgive you of your sins. Hey, he's tender in mercy, and he's rich with it. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Trying to be good enough to get to heaven? That every mouth may be stopped and the whole world might be guilty before God. That's true. Galatians 4. You're going to jot these down because I'll go kind of quick. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born from a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, that's us, who were under the law. Redeem us from what? From what the law, the verdict, demands. Jesus, in His perfection, met all the requirements of the law. That's a done deal. But what about us who didn't meet the requirements of the law? Well, He died for you. He put His blood on the cross for you. And that's why Galatians 5:18 can say, but those of us who are led by the Spirit are no longer under the law. Isn't that great news? No longer under the law. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 4. We're still in verse 4 here still. He's not only rich, it says here, but it says because of His great love that He has for us. This is incredible to me. He loves us. We get this notion that God somehow has to love us. He's God. He's got to love us. God loves you. Of course He does. He's God. He loves everybody. It's like, you know, we apologize for God being loving. And isn't this true in our lives? You know, we can tell everybody, God loves you. And we're going, God loves you. Boy, I wish I knew about what I'm telling these people. God loves you. Boy, what? And I can believe that for you. God loves you. And I can say that with authority. God loves you. But does God love me? Yeah, He loves me. And here's the amazing thing. I like this. Sometimes we can't fathom God's love. So check this out. God likes you. He likes you. And you know it's true if you just think for a moment. He likes to hang around with you. He likes to talk to you. If you get up and get going on your day and on your life and you just kind of leave Him behind, what's He doing? He's saying, excuse me. I'd really like to spend some time with you. Yeah, I know, Lord, but you know, I got to get to work early. The commute's insane. And I'll talk to you on the freeway. I'll talk to you at lunch. And what is he? Does he ever go away? He doesn't go away. Excuse me, but it is lunchtime. I know, but you know what? The boss wants me to. And he's always there. And if you can't fathom the fact that He loves you, He likes you, He puts up with you. I mean, He hangs with you. He's always with you. People will leave you. He won't leave you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you the moment you want to talk. He's always there. He loves you. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Doesn't say that much. Doesn't say that God is grace. It doesn't even say that God is mercy. It says God is love. He loves us. Great verse, Jeremiah 31:3. You've heard this before. Great verse. It says, yes, I have loved you, He says, with an everlasting love. That's what God says about you. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated His love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Isn't that amazing? Before we ever came to Him, He died for us. He loves you before you ever came to Him. He's a loving God. Second thing I want you to see, second point is in verses 5 through 6, and that is, but God is gracious. He's a gracious God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a study called From Death to Life. I'll look at the first part of chapter 2. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, in commemoration of September 11th, or 9/11, as we often call it, we're once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. When Islamic terrorism is discussed in today's circles, political correctness is rampant. But the author sheds that attitude in Because They Hate, and gives us the truth about the threat to our nation that became reality in her native Lebanon. So if you missed our offer the first time, here's your opportunity once again. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.